Welcome into episode 98 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and the heavy breathing is the dog as usual. And today I've got a blather with I Wish You a Great Big Shawl. What's a crack? Runny, runny, runny. Swap section. Mum, mum, mum section. Me, me, me. The Caithness section. And I end with a shoppy section. And it's not my shoppy this time. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes. So get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. I have a quote from a lovely listener, Mim, from Wiltshire. Hello, Mim, whom I had a lovely correspondence with last week. The reason I'm laughing is because I've got lovely three times in the same sentence. She said something quite lovely. Oh no. Which tied in with this blather, and well, here it is. And I asked her if I could share it. She said, "It's funny how many times I go along with my daily business and something happens that reminds you of a podcaster. I suppose by getting weekly updates of their lives in knitting, which you don't always get from friends and family, they become very much a part of your life, even though you've never met them. It's like a lace shawl that's been draped over the earth to block, and the podcasters are like the pins that keep it in its place, dotted all over the globe." I thought, oh yes, Mim, that makes absolute perfect sense to me. As you heard last episode, or some of you have, I mentioned that I cast on the Tornved shawl by Karina Westerman. And as I was knitting it, I was fair enjoying myself, and I was pondering over the different designs and shapes of shawls and wraps that they can be. Then it got me to thinking that a shawl, no, bear with me here, a little bit like life. With the garter tab start, shawls that you cast on three stitches and then you add them in a triangular fashion, and you mostly use a provisional cast on to start with. Well, you do if you're particular. Sometimes I use a slip knot and sometimes I don't. Anyway, I like to think the first three stitches remind me that that's your parents when you're in the middle. These are the first people in your life, and well, they have to be there so that you can get made. Then we add more stitches, and these can be your immediate family, your siblings, the people that love you most. They're the ones that tend to be the ones that come around babies. Everyone pretty much loves a baby. Their new life, mostly always cute. And if you're lucky, you can hand them back. But I've not forgotten the provisional cast on here. The open stitches represent your family before you. There had to be family before you so you could be here. But these are stitches that you cannot have lived in their time zone. So whilst they're important and brought you here, you could not physically been part of their shawl. The yarn itself might be a symbol of your status in the world, whether it be from the purest of silks or cashmeres or kaviot to the plainest cottons or wool or acrylic. This is what you started out with. As the shawl grows, so does your life. The first part of the shawl would be your childhood, the extra stitches, the people that you meet, and where there's a knit two together, this could be your paths crossing with special people. You're remaining the middle stitch down the spine of the shawl, and your parents hopefully continue to stand either side of you. The yarn overs can be the mistakes that you make along the way, or if you're unlucky, a dropped stitch would represent an illness or a death. And I'm thinking stocking stitch for the first part of the shawl, a la Tornved or Ishbal. And then you get to the lace part. This could be where you grow up a bit, and your experiences start getting richer and more varied. You meet more people. You knit more two-togethers. You might even meet the special one person that you think you're going to spend the rest of your shawl with. They could be the slip stitch pass one over, but near the spine where you are. As you get married and have children, your special stitches remain close into the spine where you are. Whilst they are starting their own shawls and journeys, then yours intertwines with the patterns. Your situation might improve monetarily, your yarn might improve, or you might get poorer. There might be mistakes in there, and there might be a long period of lovely lace work, some on both sides, and being knitted lace as opposed to lace knits. I can never quite remember which was the one that doesn't have the plain row after the pattern work. Now, as you enter middle age, your shawl really looks like a shawl. It has its pattern showing up, and you're fair marching along quite confident in your ability to knit this and live life. The patterns may collapse subtly as you get bereaved, or you change careers, or your bairns go up and move on. But when we find out, there's still a fair bit to go, so the shawl marches on, each stitch being a new day or experience in your life. Some days the stitches are back to front, some days they're perfect. And then the grandbairns, and if you're lucky, the great-grandbairns come along. People are the milestones in your life. People tend to be the milestones in your life. Some events, weddings, funerals, And now you see the shawl has more made than to be made, and you start to slow down. The yarn might fool you into thinking it won't be enough, and some of you will speed up kidding yourself that there will be enough. Experience tells us that there is never enough time, and more often than not, never enough yarn to finish. Now each stitch as you go on is precious, each new life even more so, and they have the promise of their time to come, yet they enrich your own shawl. Then we come to the twilight of the years and the binding off of the shawl. You might use up oodles and oodles of yarn here doing a stretchy bind off, which is good, or you might all of a sudden realise, oh, I'm finished. Some people live on, and others are done before they realise or want to, and some people slip away quietly one January night, peacefully sleeping. That's the last stitch put in. The funeral would be the blocking part, where they lay the shawl out and you can see it in its all its glory and misery to be scrutinised and admired. The wearing of it gets passed on to the next generation, and they'll feel the warmth of the life gone before as the next shawl is being made. So I wish you all to be great, big, highly patterned, intricate shawls. If you need a pee stop, go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello,
section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me a while now, and been with me forever listeners. I appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you're enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members, Read the Page, Tweedy Island, Simon N, Swansky, and Linus Knits. More on Linus Knits in a bit. Random hellos to Arlen, Bionic Knit a Woman, Suff, Crochet Star, Holiday, and Kivistart over in Madrid. I know I've probably not said that right. And you know, I never ever practice these before I say them, so that's why you might hear me sound like I'm smiling at myself because I'm not saying it right. Ah!
What's the crack, section?
Right, what's the crack? Firstly, I'm so sorry to see the flooding and the continual storms that you're having further south in the United Kingdom. Up here, we've kind of escaped most of it. We're the ones that normally get the wind, and the Gulf Stream seems to have gifted you it this year. Not so much the rain, but England has not had an easy winter, or Wales. It's been non-stop wind and rain since early December. And I'm not saying we cope better with this, and certainly not the flooding, but the wind doesn't seem to be such a problem for us here. And now there are serious floods going on further south, and whilst last week we were buying patterns for Arlen of the Lost Geek podcast to support Indonesia, and obviously we should still carry on doing that, this episode now we are raising monies for people in England and Wales. Poor farmers who've had to sell their herds as they've got no land left that's dry. Villages cut off since Christmas. Thousands, probably millions of homes flooded and property and businesses devastated. I know that there's a few Just Giving funds set up, so if you would like to donate and help. I'm sure there'll be patterns for sale too. Britain is a very generous country when it comes to donating to foreign disasters, and well, we are in a time of need now, so in the next few days when the charity bits come in, I would ask you to consider to be generous and donate. Even my little Daisy while watching the news last night got really upset because the little children couldn't go to school. Bless her. All you affected. I know if you are, you won't be listening to me, and neither you should be, but when it's all back to normal, know that we were rooting for you. Centenary episode. I thought that we could have another party or something different for the episode coming up, which is getting closer. It's going to be my 100th. If you would like to join in with this celebration of 4 years and 100 episodes of me, you're more than welcome. I invite you to join with my 100th episode by either sending me a 30-second sound clip, which you can record on your phone and email it to me at kathenscraftcollective@gmail. Nobody has done so far. Not that I'm needy or anything, but if you'd like to get involved somehow, do whatever suits you, because it's about you too. And if you have a shop or you're a designer or you're promoting something and you wish to do a giveaway, I'd love to include you. You have up until the 1st of March for me to put it all together for the request to be included. Also, if you have a very, very favourite blether or giggle or lobster joke you want to be included, please let me know and I'll troll back through the archives for you. I've actually gone back through and added all the drams that we've tasted now onto a thread in Ravelry for your attention. And this means that you can now go and look them up when you're in the whisky shop and you can't remember what you wanted. For all future drams, I'll add a tasting note. And there was a fair few and it took me quite a while to go back through them all. I've not put on the ouzo, but I do recommend it, and also hello to Wins from the Marsh, who is lovely. Also, I was delighted reading all the comments on the previous threads from you longer-term listeners and some names I hadn't read out in a while. I think some of you still listen, and there was a couple who I know for a fact don't, but, well, I'm a big girl, I don't mind. I've now deleted two of the podcasts on my list because they weren't for me, and I don't know why I was listening to them. I was actually getting annoyed listening. And I hope I don't annoy you, but if I do, well, it's been great fun. It's not me, it's you. Oh, yeah. Oh, you've all pressed delete now. Bye! Well, I gave one of them 15 minutes just to see if it was still annoying me. Because I thought maybe I was in a bad mood the past couple of times. But no, it wasn't. It was the podcast that put me in a bad mood. So my shawl is too precious. And I hope yours is too for things like that. Don't hang around with energy vampires. People that suck the happiness out of you. So I've actually got a post-it note here that I've got the names on. I know, one post-it note. And it's got quite a lot of names on there, so I've mentioned the first six and I'll carry on doing that. The more you interact with things on the boards and stuff, the more I'll mention you. On to Ravelry next. We watched some of the Olympics opening ceremony. I was delighted with the amount of knitwear on show. Obviously it would be all machine made, but it's still knitwear at the end of the day. Among my favourites are the Norwegian blue crochet hats and of course the slouchy red pom-pom Team GB hats. Well, we're not pulling in the medals, but I am very much enjoying watching it and keeping up with the Twitter feed. And we revisit, I love this, the phenomenon of 5 minutes in and we're experts in the sport. Experts. Never even seen it before, but now we know everything. The BBC team are having a whale of a time with their wee trolley and their Putin hats. And it's been good to see a bit of Russia. And yes, I know it has questionable authority, but hello, Russian listeners. We know you're not all like that. Just as you hopefully know, we are not like our esteemed leaders. And all Olympics are emotive subjects, but it is about sport at the end of the day. So how's all your knitting projects or crochet projects going? I cast on socks whilst I was watching the opening ceremony. My socks are the Socktopus Totally Vanilla socks, the ones I did last time. But this time I'm using a thinner needle to cast on and do the rib. And it's a size 2mm, and it was like knitting with a bendy toothpick. I had ordered the size of 11 bamboo DPNs from China, along with a set of 6 crochet hooks and a set of 11 circular needles that we think were Chigus, but they're not branded as such. We reckon it's the same factory in China that makes them, but for some reason or other they didn't want these, they're like reject ones. And there's an eBay seller who'll send them to the UK. There's quite a few podcasters and listeners now who have these. And whilst the DPNs are longer at 10 inches, or 25 centimetres long, and you only get 4 instead of 5, they're fine. I paid something stupid like under £10 for 2 sets of all previously mentioned, one set for me and one for Mum. I thought I would try them out, and I liked the DPNs, so I could get the ones I actually used the most in a proper branded needle locally. I like having all the sizes, although one of my size 2mm ends has split. I've filed it down, but it's not quite smooth. And as I was knitting in the round, I didn't actually need to use that one in my right hand. If I didn't want to, I flip it over and get to it. But I've ended up marking it with pink nail varnish, which Daisy thought was hilarious. Of course, we had to do our nails then. I'm plugging away with the socks, and today I started the heel. I should have one finished by the weekend if I want to get them done by the end of the Olympics. However, I've not joined up to any team, and whilst I was a team captain for the podcaster one, Sasquatch, a couple of years ago, I don't know what I was doing, and I wasn't a very good team captain, so I'm not going to waltz in now and join that way. Really, I'm just challenging myself. Never mind. I've enjoyed seeing all your entries through Twitter and Instagram, and some of you have been kind to share onto my group page, so everyone get into a team huddle. Even you, Sweden. Come on, in you come. Right, go, go, go. Everybody, get back on with it. Carry on being wonderful and challenging yourselves, and go Team GB. I love your hats. Unwind Brighton. Now, this is kind of spooky because I was writing this yesterday and then today I was downloading the new list of listeners who've joined the group. And there's Lioness Knits, has just joined the group. Now, she was already my friend. Oh, I must say to you, when you join the group, I tend to try and make sure that you're my friend, but I don't often say, hello, how are you doing? I let you do that if you want to. I don't assume that you want to have a conversation. I just assume that you want to be my friend. So if you want to have a conversation, feel free, message me. But don't get upset if I friend you and then don't put any message back because it's just the way I got into it. Am I a bad podcaster? I'm not sure. However, on Wing Brighton, I wrote this and then I realised that Lioness Knits is the lady who's organising it. So I was just tickled pink with that. And I've said on the 12th and 13th of July, there's a wonderful wool event in Brighton Dorm Corn Exchange. And guess who's going? Me! I know! Could it be further away from me? Well, it's coinciding, on purpose, with our annual trip to Richard's Auntie down in Horley. And Horley is on the main railway line down to Brighton. And we visited Brighton a few times the past few years, and it seems like fate that I went, that I made fate. The class list is amazing. It's like a celebrity lineup of the yarny world. And this isn't everybody. This is Karina Westerman, Carol Feller, Woolly Wormhead, Rachel Coopy, I speak to her on Twitter, Vera Valamaki, Isolda, Anne Kingston, Amy Singer. Oh, the list just went on and on for the classes or talks. And then there'll be the marketplace, which I'm sure is going to be amazing. So I really do hope to meet you there, because I know that there's a few of you have mentioned that you're going to go or attempt to go. And if not, I've not met you before, I'd love to meet up with you. Rose Rock Gin. I am delighted to announce a new gin for you all to look out and try. They're currently building the distillery, but they have been making it, I think, from their shade for a little while, and it is ready to drink. And it was tested by a dude called Hugh Gibb from the bar One Square in Edinburgh. This gin is the product of a new distillery that is perched at the top of Scotland in a region called Caithness. Yes, that's where I live. Hello. And it's just down the road from us in a place called Dunnet. One of the core botanicals in this new gin will be Rhodelia rosea, which is a rose in the rocks. Thousands of years ago, the Vikings, well, we know about them, don't we? They would harvest these wild exposed cliffs to gather Rhodelia rosea. This was thought to give them extra strength and continue on their long, arduous journeys. So if you see it, please try it and support them in building their business. And when we get our sticky paws in it, we will do a drams with it. So I'm going to go into Mackay's Grocers in Thurso, because if anybody's going to have it, Caithness, they will.
Runny, 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 runny. Who's the mummy?
Me, that's who. And on to runny, runny, runny. This past week, I'm on 7.3 kilometres, which is the bigger of the loops that I can run from my house. The other loop is a 5 kilometres, and I quite like that one now. I'm quite into my 5k. But to encourage you to either carry on with exercising or starting it, I have lost 10 and a quarter inches from around my body since I started the week before New Year, which is really just 6 weeks ago. I've lost no weight at all. In fact, I even put a pound on. But my waist is 4 inches smaller. And that's running 4 times a week and just a little bit longer each week. And I'm hoping that when I get the inches down even more, and there's still a fair amount of belly to go, to be truthful, then hopefully might lower the weight. But I don't mind, because I'll be slim. Muscles are heavier than fat, and it's the fat we want to go. This is my big running tip for this week. Measure yourself when you start, or if you've started, get written down now. You do it around the top of your armpit, your thigh, the top of your thigh, round your hips, round your belly, over the belly button, and round your bust. Then record it every week, and if you have it to lose it, be amazed. I just hopefully that'll encourage you, because every week something has come off some part of me. It's great, I can get back into these jeans. Although I'd like to get back into the pre-burn jeans, but it's only 6 weeks, Louise. It's only 6 weeks. So go for it, you lot. I also said I would tell you the reasoning behind the Runny, Runny, Runny Mummy name, which you're going to like this one. But you have to remember it's me, okay? And last year, when Richard was doing his training for the May 10K, he was using an app called Strava, that's S-T-R-A-V-A, to record his progress. And it's a really good free app for those of you wanting one. And also there's Runkeeper, which I know Martine from iMake is using. Of course, she's on 12 miles now. Yeah. Well done, Martine. I'm on 7K. But you can get this app for cycling or running, but they speak to each other, so you really just need one, and you can change the type of exercise in it. And you can even log your treadmill miles in too, which is quite good. Anyway, Richard was going out running, but his phone had run out of battery. And I said, well, use my phone, because it's got Strava on, and then you'll know how you did, as it uses a GPS to record your route and how fast you go. And I think, I used to think it was a complete geek doing this, but I have become quite addicted to logging my progress too. And also you can upload your route to your social media site, which I don't do, and I don't really follow anyone except my pal and Richard. But he did show his pals Derek and Graham via Facebook, who both ran it last year, and they're both coming up again this year, which is good. And they used to encourage themselves or discourage themselves. And plus, during training, I had told them that I was going to stand at the bottom of the garden and shout things like, "Hurry up, slow coach." And then it turned out I was, "I'm going to chuck chips at you. Not even cooked chip, frozen ones." And off Rich went. And I was sat at my computer, probably writing an episode for you. And he went off and I thought, oh, hold on. If he posts this to Facebook, it's going to say that I did it. Well, I know. I'll be all sarcastic on Facebook. So when he does do it, they know it's not me, it's him. So, in Louise's head it made sense that I'll read you the post. Louise Hunt. "Oh, look at me, eating chips and running the May 10K route for a practice run. Yum, yum, yum. Shoves chips in face. Runny, runny, runny." Then I goes, "Louise Hunt, 8:38. I'm running through Scarscray now. There's a few good places here to eat my chips, but I'll plug on. Runny, runny, runny." Louise Hunt, 20:43. "Oh, I've got a stitch now. I'm coming up the burn road. Man, it's getting cold. And someone tell those idiots in the gold car to slow down. My chips are getting cold from the car whizzing past." 8:50, Louise Hunt. "Oh, I'm pecking now. Good job the wind's blowing me down the road towards me. Oh, look an owl. Get away from my chips." A wee ad num num here. We had a short-eared owl whizzing around the place about the time that time. 8:52, Louise Hunt. "Can someone order me some more wine to go when I get to the Castle Arms? I've run out now." 8:55, Louise Hunt. "Ah, oh, look at the wee lammies in the field near the castle. No, you cannot get my chips either. I need them for runny, runny, runny." 9:00, Louise Hunt. "Shame the castle cafe isn't open. I could go more chips and wine." 9:03, Louise Hunt. "I hope Chenny's and Petey Puggles there. She'll give me some more chips and wine. Check out my red face now. Runny, runny, runny." 9:04, Louise Hunt. "Oh yes, the farmer's left his quad bike. I'll just drive this home. No chill will know any difference. Runny, drivey, runny." 9:09, Louise Hunt. "My, that's a posh garden. I'll just run up there. Oh, it's my garden. I know there's a bag of oven chips in the freezer and some ginger beer. Runny, runny, runny." 9:10. Louise Hunt. "Here, this May 10K training's dead easy. I don't know what you lot, Richard, Graham and Derek, were moaning about. I've done the May 10K route, eating chips and drinking wine. No bother at all." Somebody liked this. 9:10, Louise Hunt. "And look at my time, 42 minutes. 9:10, Louise Hunt. "Who's the mummy?" 9:11, Louise Hunt. "Me, that's who." Two people like this. And then underneath Richard's put, "You're a..." Insert your own expletive here. So that's where the runny, 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 "who's the mummy, me, that's who" came from. Richard and I often have Facebook conversations like this, but mostly when he's away, and sometimes when I've had a drink. Anyway, keep up the exercises, everyone. You da runny!
The grandma, grandma, grandma section.
Here's the mum, mum, mum section.
Oh, mum.
Hello, Louise, again.
That's implying like I made a mistake the first time, Grandmama. So, how are you today?
Oh, fine.
Good. How can you tell the listeners what crafty endeavours you have been up to?
Well, today I'm sewing. I'm sewing a bag, and I go to a sewing group once a fortnight, and there's a lady there who has made a beautiful tartan bag. Mm-hmm. And I've loved it since I've seen it, and I asked about the pattern. So she gave me the pattern and her bag. So I've got the front. I got material.
Where did you get the material from, Grandmama?
Charity shop. It was a beautiful pleated skirt for £3.50.
Nice one.
Yes.
You get a lot of material out of a £3.50 skirt.
Yeah, it was pleated, so there was a lot. And I washed it, and it came out lovely. And I've cut the back, the front, sewn it, and I'm on for the the top now.
Is it a tartan or a gingham or a plaid?
I would say it's a grey, light grey, dark grey plaid.
Plaid?
Mm-hmm.
I think it... I'm trying to place which tartan it looks the most like. And I think you get a black and white, black watch.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is, I would imagine that mm-hmm. that's quite a common one.
Well, it caught my eye and I thought, oh, yes.
I must go into the chart shops and have a look for these tartan skirts. Not that I think there's any left in Caithness with everybody making these bags.
Well, I looked for tartan and I couldn't find, you know, a tartan. But I'm quite delighted because the check is guiding me to do so correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And
This is a bag you described in the last episode, because remember we had our hands up and we were trying to place...
Yes,
you people on the bus, that's you, Louise, and you, Sadie, put your hands up again and place them together. Now take them down. Yeah, and they're all looking at you now on the bus. Right.
So I've got to cut the lining and the wadding and start sewing that bit on.
Has it got wadding on it?
Yes, it's wadded.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Just handing me the other bag and yes, it is wadded. This one's got a nice...
Oh, it's beautiful.
...magnetic pin. I'll take a photograph of it so the listeners will understand what we're bleating on about again. So what else have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing alterations today. I was sewing yesterday and today. And believe it or not, I was asked to turn a collar.
Were you?
Aye, on a blouse. Salvationist.
Oh.
And I said, okay. So I've unpicked it, mm-hmm. but all the others, I'm nearly finished. And I'm pleased. So,
when you say alterations, what do you mean?
I have two tops from one lady and she wanted the shoulders lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, no problem. Oh my, what a lot of work. I've had to unpick. It's been top stitching. It's been double material. I had to go back and refit the first one because when I had lifted the shoulders, it just didn't work. So I've altered it different and I'm quite pleased with the result of the second.
Have you got any tips for people that are trying to do alterations for clothes? What do you think is the best, a top tip?
A top tip? Have loads of patience if you're altering anything. And really follow, you know, the line of work. If it's top stitch, finish it with top stitching. And just have a lot of patience and sigh a lot.
I was doing a bit of that the other day, I can tell you. I actually had to move Mum's sewing machine, which has come back. Hello, you're back.
Yes.
And the serger, which is the overlocker. It's a Toyota SL3000, in case you wondered. And Mother has a Quilter's Dream 2 by Ilna, in case you wondered. And we had to shove them out the way so we could eat our soup. But it's better than that, than have to put them all away like we did the other day when the bairns came in. Otherwise, they try and use them.
Mm-hmm. Sandy was sitting up there.
He was, actually. He's no fear of the machine, neither she, but sometimes they need a bit of respect for them. Sorry.
So my machine is working lovely. I'm very delighted.
Excellent.
It got quite a lot of stuff wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got service. And I'm delighted.
Hooray. So back to you.
Oh, yeah. And then I've been knitting.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend...
Emma.
She's expecting twins. And we don't know if it's going to be two girls, two boys, or a boy and a girl. So we decided, and she wanted home knitting,
mm-hmm.
and we were delighted, weren't we?
We were, indeed.
So I looked through all the patterns, and I've knitted a white trimmed with pink cardigan double knitting, and it had a little collar, and it... shaped around at the front,
mm-hmm.
and I've knitted a blue cardigan in double knit, and it's a lovely blue colour, that. Yes. And that's from the book of knitting, the pattern. And I'm busy knitting a pink patterned cardigan, and it's in 4-ply, and it's cable and lacy.
Is that this one?
Yes.
Right. It's...
And that's a Peter Pan pattern.
The number is P879, just in case you want to find it.
And it's it rows to a pattern, and you have to keep counting. So I've got the back done, and I'm busy with the sleeves.
And you're doing that in pink?
Bonnie body shade of pink, yes. And I've finished a pair of black finger gloves for my son for fishing. These have got half fingers in. He saw my gloves and he said he wanted a pair like them, so I knitted him a pair for fishing. And when he tried them on, he says, "Where's the fingers and the gloves?" I says, "Well, mine hasn't any fingers." So his birthday's tomorrow, and I thought I'll knit him a pair of black finger gloves. Not too high up, because the hook and everything when you're fishing, you know, he told us.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay. It hasn't to go too far up. And so I've got them towards his present. And I also knitted one fingerless glove that I lost. So I've replaced it with orange, isn't it orange?
It's orange and brown.
Yeah. It's a lovely burnt orange.
Yeah.
I lost one, so I thought I still had some wool left, which you gave me. And so I knitted that. It's got the cable on the back. So I was quite delighted. I've been wearing them ever since.
They're nice and warm, that one, isn't it? That's what my pie shawl's made in, and that's what comes out when I'm really cold, because it's pure wool. So what have you got planned for the next couple of weeks, Grandmama?
Well, I'm going to finish my bag, and I've got to start my duvet cover. Look at it. And I've nearly decided what for the black background sashing. And I'll have to take it off the bed, because I've got it laid on the bed, but I'll have to take it off the bed because Kira's coming to stay, granddaughter.
Right, okay. Well, that's going to give you a deadline to take it off, isn't it?
That's right, yes. But I'm back to sewing again, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, I knit.
But she's getting there. She's back on Ravelry, as Grandma said.
Yes.
So she's that. And what was...
Can I say thank you to Claire for the sock knitting book?
Excellent, no problem. She's lovely. I was having a look at it yet. Maybe a couple of these little sockies rattled out for Emma's bairns come in. I think that's about it. Right, well, you better get back to your sewing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, love. Well, the tartan or plaid wasn't a black watch tartan in the end. I've looked up black and white tartans this morning. There's a fair few of them. Loads of tartans have kind of got different colours and versions, but it could be a MacLeod or an Erskine or a Nicholson. I'm not really sure, to be honest. But when Liz at Sewing Group pulls out our new tartan bag, we all go, "Oh, which tartan's that?" And nobody knows. I can spot a Mackay tartan or a Hunting Stewart tartan, but not many others. Hunting Stewart is the one that everyone can wear if you don't have a clan. And if you want to befriend Mum, she is Grandma Z. And thank you to Ravelry admin Sarah for helping Mum get back on, because she'd quite forgotten her password.
The swap section.
Swap. Have you posted your under a kilo swap? It was due out 12 days ago, and if you've not posted it, please do so. And if you haven't, or you've got a darn good reason, please let your swap partner know. I sent my one to Louise Scully in Shetland, and I received mine from Gingerbread Bunny down in Wigan. And I'm going to point you all in her direction, Gingerbread Bunny, as she's www.gingerbreadbunny.blogspot.com, and you can hire a textile crafter, and she's a teacher, and she's based in the northwest of England, i.e. Wigan. She does sell her wares too, but Choose Tonight has sold out. By going for the box of goodies I got, I would request that she start stocking the shop. Wow, she is a great swapper. I got a message from her asking what colours I liked, if I collected anything, what craft I would like to get, and then place or what the bairns liked. And I got threads, material, ribbon, buttons, yarns. One of them was hand-dyed, the perfect for me purple. Honestly, it is. I know I'm just sounding like a fangirl, but it is. There was notebooks that she covered lovely. There was crochet brooch with a pencil holder and a crochet pencil holder. And then the bairns got their things. And it was wrapped up lovely. And I've got a brilliant little notion tin with a tiny pair of snips, a tape measure and stitch markers. And I've been using this non-stop. Thank you, Sarah. You are very, very kind. I hope Louise liked my package. And I knew I couldn't just send her some stash yarn because she's very big into knitting British, as her podcast suggests. So I spun up some white Caithness sheep from a pal Sarah's farm. More on her in a bit. I also made Louise a cloth project bag. I had some material that had some cats on it, and she's got a cat called Jeremy, which is a girl. Yeah. And on the bottom, I had embroidered a wee heart, sort of like Louise's logo for her podcast. And that took me all night to do those French notes. I didn't think it was going to take me that long, but every one was made with love. And I sent her a wee taste of Caithness oat cakes, Caithness chocolate, and some Caithness shortbread. And I also had the idea to send a notion tin, but mine's wasn't quite as cool as Gingerbread Bunny's one, but I hot glue gunned a magnet to the inside of the lid to keep her bulking on, and then I put some stitch markers in it. But when I put it in, I was just about on the kilo. In fact, I was a little bit over. And I sent some handmade stationery from my lovely Scottish calendar we've just taken down, some bookmarks, and a wee notebook that has a front cover very fancily embroidered, which again took me a while. So I hope you like it all, Louise, and you get a use out of the stuff. Now, next swap. I don't have a next swap. I don't know whether to rest it for a little while or do you want to carry on. What are your ideas? This started with a fabric postcard and has snowballed a bit into a box of wonderment. I love getting the post, and it made my week getting the swap box this time. Please get back to me on this topic, because I can only do the swaps if you're willing to participate. So tell me what you would like to swap, and if maybe there's things you would prefer not to, we can always revisit something that we did. A coaster swap, a teapot cover swap, or something. Well, I don't actually know how many teapots people would have, so it's maybe not such a good idea. But I'm sure there's ideas out there. Now, I've mentioned my pal Sarah, who's been on the podcast quite a long time ago, and has Jacob Sheep. Well, they sent a lot of the fleeces they got from their smallish herd of Jacobs to the wool marketing board when they've got their cheque back. And I don't think she'll mind me telling you that it was a horrendously small amount. And it wouldn't have even covered the petrol to deliver the fleece, never mind the cost of the shearer. Now, you spinners know that Jacob Sheep has its place in garment making. Some of it's great jumper wool, and some of you can even make hats with. It tends to be outer garment, not so much skin on skin. But there's a lot of worth in their fleeces. I was shocked at the money. So this year they do plan to sell their fleeces, and I really want to help them do this, and she'll ship to anywhere in the UK, but if it's abroad it has to be washed, which she actually has been doing. And I think that they plan to offer abroad too. Now, right now they've got none left, and the sheep are currently needing their winter coats due to it being winter. But come shearing time, I will publicise it up and down, and you can all fight about it. I have three fleeces sitting upstairs, and I've already used up three or four, and I can't see past it. I mean, it's not merino or silk or Polworth, but it is good fleece. So more on that in due course.
The beaker section. Me,
me, me section. Still crocheting the Affinity and Beyond Broomstick Lace Infinity Scarf by Heidi Neely. I've not done an awful lot on it due to the sock knitting. I'll get it done because it has to be a show entry for the Canisby show in June. Sarah is the treasurer, and she gave Swedish Karen and I a copy of the schedule, and we were told to start making things. Well, that's one of them. And it's a good time to start plotting if you want to enter things into the county shows or local shows. Nick from Yarn from the Plains, have you started yours yet? Because I know you're always running at the last minute. I'm just doing it for the good of your health, you know. As mentioned in the blather, I've carried on with the Karina Westerman pattern Tornved shawl. I am using Old Maiden Aunt 4-ply Selkie, which is a dark, dark grey. I had gone a bit wrong and I needed to rip back two rows. In fact, I might even have to rip back to the last lace row. but I'm convincing myself that I'm right. I think when I get to the next lace section of chart and I don't have enough, then I'll know. But then again, I might just fudge it because it's not really annoying me that much. However, it's just sitting in the bag just now because I'm knitting the socks. And I've mentioned a lot of the stuff I've made for the swap in the section and the socks, the Ravelinic section. And other than that, I've been sewing on my jelly roll quilt, which I'll mention in the sewing day part. And Mimi's been running. I've not watched any particular thing of interest and I've not read any books of interest. So on to the collective. Textile art dusting. I'll have to watch how I say that. Dorothy has finished her wee clutch bag that she'd made from the field of silver, which is... And this is where you start with a piece of fleecy material. You embroider with thick yarn over it. And then you iron over bond wave on top of it, well, top of the stitches you've made. Then you put over the metallic paper and you iron it on and the metallic stuff sticks to the bond wave. And then you put on organza or sheer material, which then again sticks to the bond wave. And then you go back over it and you heavily embroider and bead it. And she's made this into a clutch bag and she was wanting to match her outfit for a wedding dance last week. We all went, oh, how did your bag cope? Did people admire it? And how did you enjoy it? And she said, nobody noticed it and it spent a lot of the time under the table. Sacrilege! But it was that good, you'd likely think she'd bought it anyway. It was lined too and it had a bought metal bit at the top for opening and closing. She said the hardest part of putting the bag together was sewing the sides as it was going through quite a lot of thick layers, so she was very careful with her machine. She was carrying on making another book cover, but this time for a great Scottish tapestry book, using luchador that she'd painted with paint, then screen printed it with seed heads pattern, and then picking out shiny bits of material, and then she did the bond wave trick again. We sure enjoy watching her at work doing that. Dorothy is simply amazingly talented, and yet she wants my hair. I laugh because I don't really want my hair. She could have it. So she also had a quilt that she was making for her sister's golden wedding anniversary, which is beautiful, very beautiful, beautiful colours. And Anne was making a built-up landscape, which is going to be a rock formation with some fancy mushroomy things on it. And I've not done this technique before, but Shirley has a book in with her from Kathleen Matthews called Stitch Textile Landscapes, which I now want. And I think I'll try this technique and then tell you how to do it in a future episode. We've not had a textile technique in over a year and it's about time we had a new one. Also, Anne makes a lot of things out of glass. She owns the Northern Glass Studios down in Leibster and my, she has a good pair of hands on her. We're so fortunate to have her in our group. She has made a couple of shawl pins and she said, and she's going to make a few more, so I'll get some details for you as they're just beautiful. Then I know you'll want one too. Shirley has framed up her three couching studies from the colours of sky, sea and land. She was working on a luchador piece that she had painted and then embroidered on the Caithness skyline. And this week she was playing with some weaving sticks. And it's a wee mini peg loom. Well, the pegs, but not the loom. So you have your pegs. I think she had about five. You thread the warp onto them and then you weave around the pegs. And then you push it down onto your warp and it made a lovely sturdy thin piece of textile. She then started embroidering onto this piece of textile. And I love the creativity of Shirley and the way she sees things I just don't. Catherine had put together a small baby quilt from scrap materials that she had. This year is the using the things up that we've got year. I don't think I've bought anything, so I'm being quite good at this. She hadn't been sure what to do or what placement to go for, so she took them in and Ella helped her. They are wonderful at this part. And I had my jelly roll quilt in last week and I had laid it out, it was in squares, but said, can you make this right? And Catherine immediately said, ah, you know it's not right, but you don't know why it's not right and how to sort it. And I went, yes, that's exactly it. So I wanted to get my colours and my squares all balanced across the quilt and I got muted and bright squares and pinwheels. They also suggest having plain border, but when I tried that, I really didn't like it because it just didn't do anything for the quilt. So I went back to using the plain turquoise IKEA cotton fabric. And Dorothy and Catherine spent about 20 minutes moving my squares about, so I took a photograph on my iPhone for the record. So then Catherine went back to crocheting a twig. Yes, I did say that right. She had her autumn piece, which we all asked if their leaves were real, but they were made from material and then embroidered veins on. She wanted to put on a twig. The way I understood this was, Catherine had a real twig, and she's going to attach the twig to the piece with crochet. No, she sat and she crocheted a long, thin twig that looked more twiggy than the actual twig. In fact, it was so twiggy it could have had false eyelashes on and started posing for photographs. And if you put two eyes on it, it would have been Treebeard from Lord of the Rings. It was that good. She had lichen colours on it and everything. I was proud. Crochet, it's not just for granny squares. Now, also, I had my soldering iron with my shiny materials, and I had taken my painted luchador that was of the Caithness sunrise at the harbour of that morning I'd made it, and I started soldering out bits of shiny material. It's quite stinky, so I didn't finish it there and I took it home because I didn't want to poison them with all the fumes. Instead of using Bond-a-Web and then putting the stuff on, which had been my intention, I had put all the bits, and because they were placed just so in this piece and there was tiny bits and big bits and lots and lots and lots of bits, I thought, how am I going to... I don't want to take them all off to put the Bond-a-Web or the spray adhesive on. So I got spray adhesive onto some organza and then stuck it onto the piece. Now, in hindsight, I should have sprayed the piece and added the bits as I went, but I didn't. And in true Louise style, I didn't quite stick it to the top. And there was a centimetre showing at the top. Yeah. And I killed a spider because I was using my cat litter tray to spray onto so I didn't spray the floor sticky. And I didn't see this little poor spider and I killed it because I sprayed it and it must didn't have liked it. And I did try to tip it out, but it was too late. So, sorry, that's probably my fault it's raining. So I've trimmed it and pinned it and secured it around with some straight stitches. And then I went back over with my free motion embroidery foot. And that was good fun. Until the machine realised and it mucked up the top tension. But I think it's maybe my bobbin wasn't in quite right. So, because I re-threaded the top and it was still the same, and then I re-threaded the bottom and it was okay. So I intended to add some beads and threads. I put them all in the box, put the box in the bag, of course dropped half the bag of beads on the floor. Thankfully they're not the tiny seed beads but the ones the size of peas, so they're quite easy to stand on and find. And I got to textiles, I went to take it out and I realised I'd left the piece sitting on there and brought it home where it has stayed. But I helped Shirley cut up some white pre-treated cotton that we've bought to dye. And I'll not tell you who we got from because we're 6 inches short and some of the roll was joined or marked and we weren't best impressed. But by this time we'd already cut most of it up. So, I've updated www.caithnesstextileartistblogspot.com so you get a pictorial idea of what I've been rabbiting on about. And I always upload the pictures through Google Picasa because Blogspot doesn't speak to Flickr. In fact, neither does BT Internet anymore. I had to create a new Yahoo mail to get Flickr carried on. Yeah, technicalities, eh? Right, and then I went to Sewing Day and I carried on with my Jelly Roll quilt here. I had decided the turquoise corners on this day because I had it laid all out upstairs and I took up what I had of the cream calico and I had the IKEA turquoise cotton and between a few of us we decided that it was the turquoise that was the better idea. And I had to cut some triangles and they're bigger than the ruler, so I got help with how you cut something that is bigger than your ruler. So guess what you do? You get two rulers and you butt them up against each other. It's that obvious. Yeah, but they've got great big cutting mats and big tables there, so it's easier to do it than at home. And I start to sew the squares together in the lines that I wanted them in reference to the photo I had. So the photo, there was method in my madness, and I have referred to it an awful lot. I mean, you could pin on numbers, and I actually did have pieces of card in between each line, but I didn't have them in the exact right order that I wanted them. So the photograph is the thing. So I got the quilt home and I tried to lash out the last four lines. And whilst I got the squares in the right order, I put the triangles on the wrong way. And I didn't actually realise that I had missed that there was little ones for the corners. However, Last night, whilst Richard was working on his weights and listening to Ocean Colour Scene Moseley Shore CD, which I've not listened to in 8 years, in fact, it's great, I put the four lines correct and I even managed to sew three lines together. So four to go, and then I get to put it into the It's Sandwich and decide if I do machine quilt it or slowly quilt it in the ditch. Now this is where you stitch through three layers of the quilt along the seams already there. And the three layers are at the back, which tends to be one piece of fabric in a corresponding colour. The middle layer, which is called wadding or batting, which is like a fleecy warm type of thickness. And then the top layer, which is what you've been cutting up and sewing back together into a certain style. So lots and lots of work, but I have to get it off the upstairs bed before the weekend because we've got visitors coming.
The Keithney section.
Keithney segment. Yeah. The lovely Louise Scully described this segment as Noggin the Nog. And she says she imagines wee cartoon Sven pirates. I just love this. Oh, it made me laugh. Go look up Noggin the Nog on Google. And if you don't remember it, you will instantly understand what she means when you see it. Right, Scooby-Doo ourselves back in time. Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo. Previously on Caithness Graeme of Thrones, Sven the pirate had rescued his Morgad, who was a kind of a bad dude, from the wrath of Earl Rognvald and also Thorbjorn Clerk. So Sven returned to Gearsy minus his Morgad, whom we don't hear of again. In this episode, we'll tell you the last of Sven and Rognvald. You might need your tissues, so you better get them out. But it's not for sad, it's for mopping up the blood. Okay, in later years, Rognvald went off pilgrimaging, to the Holy Land, and he left his co-earl, Harald Mad-Ard Arson, and he was then given a challenge by Erland, who was Rognvald's nephew. And Erland's father was Rognvald's brother Harald, and he was Harald of the Poisoned Shirt. You may not or may not remember this part as we did it last year, but Rognvald came to power in a rather suspect manner. Twirl your Viking beard or a Sherlock Holmes or Poirot way. So, Erland, which is still quite a common name in Orkney, by the way, stepped up to the plate. And of course, enter stage right, Sven the pirate, Asleif Farson. He had some bad blood with co-earl Harald, as Sven's brother Gunny, not such a common name in Orkney, fathered a child to Harald's mother, and Harald outlawed Gunny, which in turn upset Sven. You can see why I call this Game of Thrones. Of course, Sven riled Harald and went on plundering his money that he had sent over from Shetland, but Harald didn't rise to it. Then, in Christmas 1154, Erland's body was found in a beach in Finston on Orkney. That's him done with. No explanation, just a spear sticking out his body. Nice. Earl Rognvald came back from Palestine and all was well with the world. Him and Harald got back to Erling and Sven got back to pirating. And then, you know, the body bags here, because remember from last episode, Thorbjorn Clerk, who was the baddie, and the son of Farklok, the witch. Well, Rognvald and Harald went to a wee place called Force, which actually my friend James has his farm now, near Thurso, but obviously he had nothing to do with this. And they had a bit of a fight, and they both ended up dead. As in Thorbjorn and Rognvald. Now, Harald took Rognvald's body in great style back to Kirkwall, and it was buried at St. Magnus Cathedral, which is utterly beautiful and well worth going to visit, by the way. Rognvald was made a saint, like his uncle Magnus, whom the cathedral is named after and built for. Their bodies still lie there, Rognvald in the north and Magnus is in the south. And I've actually walked round them, and I'm sure lots of you have too, so wow. Now I understand their story better, so I quite like that. But I don't know why they were made saints, because they weren't exactly very nice now, were they? Then the throne went to Earl Harald Mad-Ard Arson, who ruled until 1206. And then from this period in Caithness and latterly Orkney became more and more influenced by Scottish rule rather than the Norse government. Sven must have decided to make it up with Harald, but in 1171, he took a raiding party on the last Viking attempt to attack Dublin, and that's in Ireland. Sven thought he had captured it, but those Dubners were rightly riled, and boy, they defended well. They dug pits all around the town, into which Sven and his men fell into as they approached to receive tribute. Yeah, I can't believe they fell for that. Boom, boom. And the story goes that Sven was the last to die of the ones falling in, and the men that escaped ran away home to Orkney, never to attack Dublin again. Good for Dublin. And thus, Sven goes off into history as well a pirate and thoroughly ruthless, but not nice person. So, weave him off. Bye-bye. The Orkney Inga saga doesn't say much about the ways of life in Caithness at the time, other than it was farmed and some common folk, mostly the Gaelic in origin, they went out in their wee cobble boats and their curraghs, and they did a wee bit of fishing. Wick wasn't much of a town, nor was Thurso, as their strongholds were the castles at Freisick, Auldwick and Bacholly. So fare thee well, Sven and Rognvald. Next episode, I think we're leaving most of Noggin the Nog, and we're welcoming him in the Sinclair clan.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. This time it's not my shoppy, but Marta's shoppy on Etsy. She kindly sent me an appreciation package of much loveliness, so thank you very, very much. Greedy Louise, love this. I accept gifts. That's not saying send me gifts, I'm just saying that I don't have a collection tub for you paying for the monetary value of the podcast, but if you feel the need, because some people do, which are very lovely, but I think you're all mad. You send me lovely gifts of things. So, Richard does like beef jerky. That's how he rates things. Is there beef jerky in it? No, oh, I'm not interested in. He's so ungrateful. But lovely, lovely Marta sent a beautiful hank of pink yarn for Daisy's hat, as she'd heard me saying that I needed pink yarn for it. And she's been lovely to correspond with, and she makes these wonderful buttons from glass. And glass seems to be the new black here. First Anna, now Marta. She had been trying to get some buttons to go with an outfit that she'd been making, but she couldn't get anything. So then she made some, and it snowballed from there. She also has hat knitting patterns on a Scottish theme, which fair tickled my fancy too. They're all cabled and very interesting. So, if you're looking for some unique buttons to go with your beautiful hat, please do go look at www.etsy.com/shop/ Marta Schmarta. And I'll spell that MartaSchmarta to buy. And go befriend her because she's really nice to chat to too, and she's on Twitter as well. Now, I've got UK in the middle of mine, so I don't know whether it's because I'm coming from the UK that... But she's not based in the UK, she's over near Denver in Colorado.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com and I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook and Instagram as caithnesscraft. And you can access the Flickr photos from Louise G 2010 and via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The music this time was from Judson Hurd and it is My Mother's Voice, which I thought was appropriate because Mum was on today. And you can go and buy it from musicalley.com. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.